This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. So if you would like access to my website or would like to contact me by regular mail, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, last time we were dealing with the issue of light and darkness. That issue, that theme starts in Genesis 1 when we read that God created the heavens and the earth, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And light is always good, and Christ is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Last time we were looking at how that it's necessary for us to let our light shine, that is, to let the truth shine. And when Christ died at the cross of Calvary, he was lifted up so the truth could shine. We have noted in the previous passage that the sign of the prophet Jonas lets the true light shine, that is, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, so will the Lord be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth, so that we can have confidence that he is that true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We noted last time that Satan is real. He's the god of this world. And in 2 Corinthians 4, we read that the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so if we are saved, we have received the light. If we are saved, we see clearly. We can say, I see, or I understand. And the Bible says it's not by science or by reasoning that we understand, but it's by faith we understand. And that implies that it's faith in Christ. That's Hebrews 11, I believe, about verse 4. By faith we understand that the worlds were made by the things which are not seen. And so, when we look at the Bible, it is giving us the light. It is the light, and Christ is the light. And we mentioned last time that as we go into this new year, it'd be so nice if we were all letting our light shine because the light had shined into us. So now we have something that can shine out and which others can see and believe in. But in our section today, we're going to find out that we have Pharisees and lawyers, and they think they have the light, but they are in darkness. And in this section we looked at last time, it says, but when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, that just simply means when your eye is such that you cannot see, when you've got cataracts, or when you are reaching a point where the light can't shine into your eye, maybe through old age, or because of macular degeneration, then your body is full of darkness. And so in Luke chapter 11 and verse 37, we read, as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. The Lord obviously could have washed before dinner and avoided this conversation, but he wanted this conversation with them. He says, foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue, that is, the smallest things, and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He's not saying that it's wrong to tithe the smallest of things. They ought to have done that, but it does no good if it has no heartfelt love of the Lord and love of the poor in the things that they are doing. In other words, if they're living a religious ritual that's meaningless. So he says, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. In other words, they like prestige. They like honor. They like to be first. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! That's a play actor. For you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. In other words, they liked all the things that the Lord was saying the Pharisees liked. And at least they were being honest about it. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. Now, Luke 11 and verse 53 then tells what the response was to what the Lord had said. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. And ultimately, of course, they were so angry with him that they destroyed him. They sent him to a cross. They murdered him. Now, as we look at this passage, it's quite clear that the scribes and the Pharisees were looked up to as religious leaders. They should have known the will of God, and yet everything they did was self-serving. And so they had the Old Testament, but they also had the commentary on the Old Testament, which laid out a lot of rules that really violated the intent and purpose of the Old Testament. Now, it's true the Lord could have washed before he ate, but it was more important that he be clean on the inside than clean on the outside. That's what he's saying. And he didn't wash so he could have that conversation with them, because later he makes it clear that the things that he's criticizing they ought to do, but they shouldn't do that without considering the real things, the things that really please God. And the things that really please God are works that evidence a changed heart and a changed life. James says, you can show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Well, the Jews' works would have been to tithe the tiniest of things and to be very careful about the keeping of the Sabbath and such like, but they would not have helped the poor. They would not have given the alms that they should have given in private. And their hearts were simply not right with God. And of course, they wanted their religion to allow them to have prestige as priests. They wanted people to look up to them and call them rabbi and give them the prominent place in the public affairs of life, and so they were looking for self-satisfaction, and true Christianity crucifies self and tries to help others. And I see that today. There's many people who, as I listen to them, they are critical of the government and its desire to help the poor. But my question is, are they themselves coming in to help the poor so that the government doesn't have to? Do our churches do that? And there are churches that do, and I commend them for it. That doesn't save us, but it shows reality in our salvation, doesn't it? Because we can't criticize people who are dependent on the government and on government programs, which are misused, no doubt about it, if we who are Christians are not going to pick up the banner and do what the Lord asks us to do in helping these people and taking care of them. And so we look at groups that do take care of them, and I'm not going to name them. And even though in many cases I wouldn't fully agree with their doctrine, I do agree with their heart. in that they try to help people in disasters, they try to help the poor. And many Christians are good at that, but I see Christians that criticize people who are down and out without helping them. And that is what the Pharisees were doing. They were not actually coming alongside the people they could have helped. And as a result, the Lord says, you're nothing more than a hypocrite. And not only that, by laying out all of these rules and regulations and making their relationship with God a system of rules and regulations, they were giving people burdens that they could not bear. The Lord is a burden bearer. He carries the burden of our sin. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's a burden bearer. But in fact, these people were placing burdens on people that they could not bear. And I'm not just sure in what way they were doing that, excepting that by requiring tithing by people who were very poor, it was the priests that benefited from that. And very likely, instead of the rich class helping the poor class was helping the rich class through some of their religious rules. I suspect that was what was happening. And so the Lord says, not only are you laying burdens on people that they cannot bear, but you're destroying the prophets who are coming to you and who are trying to get you to repent and turn to the Lord and live the way he wants you to live. And of course, we can see that he lists then the blood of Abel, who was slain by his brother, to the prophet Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. And yes, there was times that it didn't pay to be a prophet of the Lord in the Old Testament. Jeremiah suffered because of it, spent his time in a dungeon because of it. And we can see that there was a man by the name of Zechariah who also perished because he prophesied to a king who wasn't going to have these people talk to him that way. And isn't that the way this often works when we talk about sin, when we talk about things that need to be changed? Oftentimes when we talk about those things to people that we call sinners, many of them realize their need of a Savior, and they repent and believe. But when we talk about sin to a self-righteous group of people who think that they are the leaders of the people, instead of them accepting the admonition so that they can correct what they are doing, they take the attitude, who are you to talk to us this way? And they took that attitude with the Lord, and ultimately they took him out and they crucified him because he was faithful to them and preached them this way. I have to admit that it's hard for me sometimes to be straightforward with people that I know have power and are absolutely ungodly. I have trouble criticizing them. But there were prophets who did not, and the Lord did not. He called a spade a spade. He suffered for it, but because he suffered for it, I have a Savior today. And I just hope that you aren't one of those who are living a religious lie, whose heart is filled with darkness, when you could have the Lord as your Savior and the light of life within you, enjoying his presence. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.